Well, again, we want to give you a very, very warm welcome. Thank you very much for coming. Tonight we want to look at a word that we often don't like to hear. We're going to look at the little word, cannot. You can't do that. You cannot do it. And we have a nature about us that, you'll see if we can do it or not. And often, when we are told you cannot do it, and we prove that we can, we feel pretty good about it. But you know, sometimes those that tell us you cannot do it, they're not really sure. They don't really have maybe the authority to tell us that we cannot. But tonight we want to look at cannot from God. And when God says you cannot, you cannot. When I was a young teenager, I lived in town. I loved to get out on the farm where my cousins were, and I'd go out and stay with my cousins and with my Uncle Arthur Taylor. And wintertime, I went out on a Friday afternoon after school, and the wind was already starting to blow, the snow was already starting to come down, and it turned out to be just a terrible storm that night. And when we get up in the morning, the storm had settled down somewhat, but the roadway coming from the main road into his house was about a quarter of a mile, and it was just all blown in. You couldn't see if there was a road or not. No little ditches on the side. It was all blown in. And not only was it blown in, but we found out that it was very, very hard. The snow just packed in there, and it was hard. And so Uncle Arthur said, "Oh, man," he said, "you know, they didn't have all the equipment back then," so he said, "we'll have to harness up the old horse and get the manure skid behind it, and we'll make a path through the field. We'll just go alongside and we'll make a path through the field and come out at the other end." And so the poor old horse, he said, "I don't like to work her too hard with 30, 35 below. It's hard on breathing that cold air in." But we went slowly back and forth until we had a trail made that you could go back and forth with your car or with your truck. Come Sunday, they invited this family in that lived in town as well. And this gentleman so happened to be the owner of the Buick dealership there in town, so he has the best car and best of everything. And Uncle Arthur says, "By the way, when you come, you cannot go down the lane. You'll see out in the field we got a path. Just follow that path." Well, this man with his big car and great tires, he goes down the road. And he gets in there about a quarter of the way, and he is stuck. And finally, he sends his boy down to the farmhouse and told Uncle Arthur that his dad was stuck on the road. And Uncle Arthur, he said, "Oh, shoot!" And that was his favorite saying of his. And what he said, I hate to go out and harness up that horse again, but that's the only way you could pull him out. So we went out and harnessed up the horse and went out behind him and pulled him out. You see, he thought he could make it his way. And this time he couldn't. And God says, "You'll see, you cannot." John chapter 8 and verse 21. John chapter 8 and verse 21. Then said Jesus again unto them, "I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, you cannot come." Verse 24. And again it's the Lord Jesus speaking, and he says, "I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Now let us go to John chapter 3, just a few pages. John chapter 3 and verse 1. John 3 and verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, "Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, How can a man be old? How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water, even of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now one more in Titus. Titus chapter 1. And verse 1. Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of the truth, which is after godliness, and hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. So here we have three different cannot. You cannot come, you cannot see, and God who cannot lie. Really, what a strange message from the Lord Jesus, the one that we've been speaking about other nights, and he is the one that says, Come on to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Come on to me, all ye the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. And here tonight we read, Where I go, you cannot come. We must understand that there are conditions to God's salvation. Some people think that really when it comes to the end, God will just forgive them and we'll all be in heaven. But that's not what we read tonight. And that is not what the Bible teaches us. In verse 21, it says, Why can't you come where he is? Well, sin is a problem. And I think we've mentioned that almost every night. But sin is a problem. Let me ask you. Did you sin today? Did I sin today? You know, even the thought of foolishness is sin. I wouldn't like to count how many times a person would sin without hardly knowing about it. But we sin. And sin is a problem. Isaiah 59 and verse 2 would tell us that your sins and my sins have separated us from God. Now I am thankful that I can look back to the day when I received Christ as my Savior. My sins are forgiven. And I know that where He is, I am going to be. But how about you tonight? He said, if you believe not, you will die in your sins. If you believe not that I am He, if you believe not that I am the one who died in order that you might have eternal life, if you believe not that just as the blood on the doorpost there in Egypt that night, the blood that was shed at Calvary, it was His blood, the righteous Son of God, and He died that we might have eternal life. He says, if ye believe not. Now, he says it doesn't have to do with our believing. It has to do with who we believe. But you know, believing is an action word. Believe or believe not. He said, well, how does that work? Years ago, there was a man named Blondin. And he was a tightrope walker. He'd walk the tightrope in all sorts of circumstances. But he finally decided that he needed more attention. He wanted to be more popular. So he had them put a rope across the Niagara Falls from Canada to the USA. He had put a rope across the fall. And he was going to walk that rope across the fall. Now, I've told this story before, but it wasn't until, I think, 2 years ago that, July the 12th, more than 2 years ago, 2012, there was another man that walked the tightrope across the falls. And did you see that? Yeah, that's right. And you know, I didn't realize that You have the wind, you have the moisture, there's all sorts of things. But we watched this man, he was a child of God, he was a believer. But Blondin, I don't know about him, but anyway, the advertisements went out, and the people come, and they'd been on the Canadian side and on the American side, and as he came, they were clapping and hollering, and Blondin can do it, Blondin can do it. And finally, he walked up to the position, and he stepped up on that little standing thing there, and he is ready to get on that rope. And as he's going to get on the rope, everything went fine.
And everybody watched as he started to go across the fall. And not hardly a beat. They didn't want to scare him, probably. And everybody was silent. And he started to make his way. And one step at a time. And finally, he comes across to the other side. And when he stepped off the rope, everybody was clapping and hooray for Blondin. So now it was time for him to go back. And he had a wheelbarrow sitting there. So he asked the crowd, he said, do you think that I can go across the tightrope and push a wheelbarrow? Oh yes, you can do it. And they were all sure that he could do it. So there was a little guy standing there. And he walked over to the little fellow, probably 12, 13, and he said to him, Sonny, do you believe that I can take the wheelbarrow and push it across with somebody in it? Oh, yes, I believe you can do it. I know you can do it. So Mr. Blondin said, well, you get in the wheelbarrow, and I'll push you across.
No way.
So did he believe? Or did he not believe? See, believe is that you take actions on what the person has said.
And the Lord Jesus said, you cannot come because you believe not. Your belief might be this. I'm not going to be saved. I don't want this. I'm tired of going to church. You either will accept Christ or reject Him. You'll either trust Him or not trust Him. He says, if you die in your sins, no hope of heaven. An awful, awful destiny. In Luke chapter 16, the Lord gives us a picture of a man. It wasn't a make-believe story, it's a real story. This man lived and he died. And he died in his sins and he went to hell. And it says that in hell, he lifted up his eyes and he begged for mercy. And there's some that wouldn't beg for mercy today. And while he lived, he did not beg for mercy. But in hell, he begged for mercy, but it was too late. Too late. His day of mercy was while he was breathing here on earth. And it says in hell, there's a great gulf fixed that nobody can come or go. You don't want to be in hell. Today is your day of opportunity. 2 Samuel chapter 14 and verse 14 says this. We all must die. God takes each one of us personal. He sees each one of us. He knows us. He knows our names. And he said, listen, we all must die. And we are as water spilled on the ground and cannot be gathered up again. We all must die. We are as water, spilled on the ground. Somebody want to come and pick this up? Now you might get a little bit, but if we were outside on the ground, it disappears. God wants you to understand that our life is just like that. It's over. It's gone. We almost died. And Jesus says, if you die in your sin, you cannot come. Death is a one-way ticket to eternity. Where are you going to be in eternity tonight? Look at that chart. Look at those two roads. Look at that door. The first door you look at, it's open. But you look down a little bit, and the door is closed. Because one day, as we heard already, the Lord is coming. We look for His coming, those of us that are saved. And when He comes, the door will be closed. It'll be too late. You cannot. Then we read about Nicodemus. You cannot see the kingdom of God. We're all invited to see the wonders of heaven and the greatness of God. And yet the Lord Jesus said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So the question is tonight, do you answer this question in your own heart? And I'll tell you why you have to answer in your own heart. There was a girl that spoke to me a few days ago, and I said, are you saved? Sometimes I think I am, and sometimes I'm not sure. And I just couldn't look in her heart and see. But God knows. So the Lord Jesus says to Nicodemus, except a man or a person, a boy or a girl, is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. The question is, are you born again? What does that mean? It means, are you saved? Are your sins forgiven? Would you be happy tonight if the Lord Jesus were to come? If He were to come, would you be taken up or would you be left behind? You do not want to be left behind. Are you born again? Nicodemus said to him, well, Nicodemus might have been my age. And he said, well, how can an old man enter the second time into his mother's womb? We just heard about two babies being born here this week. Yeah. Two newborns. And Nicodemus was thinking about that type of a birth. And he went back even to his own birth and he said, how can me, an old man, enter the second time into my mother's womb? You know, he was thinking of the natural birth. For me, the natural birth, I was born in a hole. January the 19th, 1945, in Melford, Saskatchewan. And I was born into the Myers family. Now, I had no say about it. I couldn't tell them when I wanted to be born. And I couldn't tell them even what name I wanted. I had nothing to do with it. It was up to that time, it was up to my mom and dad. And I just come along. That's a natural birth, and that's what Nicodemus was thinking about. But on November the 15th, 1955, at the age of 10, in the Tillerside Gospel Hall, we had a series of meetings, wonderful series of meetings, and I was concerned about my sin. I knew that if I died in my sin, I didn't think about cannot and would not, but I knew if I died in my sins and the Lord came, I'd be left behind. And I did not want to be left behind. And on November the 15th, and by the way, don't worry if you don't know the date that you were saved. We just know because our parents would always write it down for us. But you'll remember because you were there. And on November the 15th, 1955, I was born again. It's a spiritual birth. And not into the Myers family, I was born into God's family. And I had everything to do with it in reality. Yeah. I could choose if I wanted to be born again or not. I wanted to be born again. And the Spirit of God, and God wants us to be born again. And it was the Spirit of God that convicted my soul that I needed to be born again. And for 3 or 4 nights, I fought that. I'm just going to tell you one thing that happened. I was sitting in halfway back and in a little bit, and everybody was going up the center aisle. And I wanted to be saved, and I thought, I'm going to stay behind tonight. I'm going to talk to the preacher. And as my cousins were going up and weren't saved, I looked up. And one of my cousins looked at me, and all he had to do was give me a smile. What do you think you're doing, Larry? I knew what he was saying. And you know, I got up and walked out.
And by the grace of God, the Lord didn't come, for I didn't die. But as I walk up, God is so good. I had a little old aunt, Aunt Gracie. And even though I was just 10, she wasn't much taller than I was. And she was a very wise old lady. She went up behind me. She was just right there behind me walking up. And she just tapped me on the shoulder. And she whispered in my ear, "Brian, I know you want to be saved. And I'm praying for you." Wow. The grace of God.
So Nicodemus, you know, he learned that time. He didn't have to enter the second time into his mother's womb. He learned that he was saved by the grace of God. Yes. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." And then in Titus we read, God who cannot lie. And that is one reason we are so sure of the message that we have to tell you. Paul says, we are given a hope as believers, hope of the coming of Christ. And we look for that hope. And we know it's going to happen. How do we know? Because God cannot lie. God is faithful. And He is coming. And He wants you to be ready. He doesn't want you to be left behind. And you need to be ready. And you need to come. And you need to be thankful that there is those that have brought you tonight. And the Spirit of God will knock on your heart's door and remind you that God loves you. However, if you believe not, you cannot come. If you're not born again, you cannot see God's heaven. But the God who cannot lie is the one who gave His Son that you might have eternal life.